If you'd go again, please, to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. We've been on a series for a number of weeks when it wasn't something, you know, a special service going on, that talking about all kinds of prayer. But for weeks now, we have not talked about all kinds of prayer. We only talked about praying in the Spirit. And so I'm changing that title to the previous messages. We're calling that Praying in the Spirit. And we're starting a new series today called All Kinds of Prayer. And we'll see if we can get to it or not. You know, back when I first started preaching and teaching, just every once in a while I'd say, well, this is not my message, but, and I'd spend half the time on some other thing. And I don't know, I must have said it, over months or whatever, 50 times. And I said it again, this is not my message, but, and right in the middle of me talking, the Lord interrupted me. He said, if I say that's your message, that's your message. I thought, yes, sir, that is correct. And so we do want to be led by the Spirit, and He knows, and it's good and right to prepare and to plan, but not just with a message, with everything in life. It's okay to prepare, to have a plan, but don't be locked into your plan.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Hmm? You know, some friends of ours, minister friends of ours, who were actually, they were in Italy at the time, I believe. And they hadn't had a vacation for years. And they wanted to go to, what's the name of that place? Yeah, it's where they had that tsunami. But anyway, they had planned to go, and their girls were excited about going for months. And when they got ready to go, the man said, man, I got to check about going. I got to check about going. And they were spiritual enough. They just sat down and prayed about it for a bit. And they decided, well, we just won't go. They would have been at the very place near there where the tsunami hit and killed all those people. Well, what if you say, well, hey, we've been saved up for this. We got things we can't get our money back. Well, yeah, but it's better than dying. Right? We need to be led by the Spirit. And a big part of that is if you pray. If you pray every day, then you are more aware of His dealings with you. And we talked about that before in the previous series about teach us to pray. So if you're with us and you have, this is your, you know, first time being with us, let me encourage you, go online and listen to, watch the series, Teach Us to Pray. It won't cost you a penny. There's no commitment, no cost involved, but take your time. Those of you that were here, do you recommend that they do it? You think it'd be good? So they recommend that you do it. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 and 18. He had talked about what we call the armor of God. Take unto yourself the whole armor of God. And he went piece by piece talking about what it does. And then he said, he led up to this verse, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How many think this is something we should take seriously and we should do? How do you do it? How do you do it? Well, obviously, there's going to be some praying involved.
That's right.
Right? So if you don't pray, you're not going to be doing this verse. But it's a specific kind of praying. Now, one of the things we got into in Teach Us to Pray is when the disciples, that's a quote from the disciples asking Jesus, they said, teach us to pray. And the first thing He did was tell them how not to pray.
Right. Yep.
So just praying is not necessarily a good thing. There are some prayers that you'd been better off not praying. And there are a number of prayers God just can't hear. He can't work with. Because you're ignoring what He said. And He's not going to change His word to accommodate you. You have to adapt to Him and do it His way. But here He said, praying always with all prayer. Other translations bring out all kinds of prayer. So there's more than one kind of praying. If you'll hold your place here and go to 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy 2, 1. Everybody happy to be in church?
Yes.
Glad to be glad?
Yes.
We're blessed.
Amen.
These opportunities are good.
Hallelujah.
We won't have these always forever. Every one of them is important. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And he talks about, the next part is for those that are in authority, kings. Why? Well, because what they do affects you.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
But back up to the first verse. He mentions supplications. He mentions prayers. He mentions intercessions and giving of thanks. So this would be an example of how praying varies.
Right.
There are different kinds of praying. My father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, somebody said to him one time, well, prayer is prayer, isn't it? He said, yeah, and sports is sports. But you don't play football with hockey rules.
Right?
And yet they're both sports. Right? And that's this. I think that's a great example that, yeah, prayer is prayer. And you're praying to God. That's the same. But there are different kinds of praying. And they're based on different things. Now, one of the words, you see the first word that he mentions here and the first word that he mentions in Ephesians is supplications. Everybody say supplications.
Supplications.
So I want us to camp on that a bit today. Supplications. So we may actually be talking about different kinds of prayer now that we were not able to do for the past several weeks.
Right.
Yay. But then praying in the Spirit's worth talking about too, right? I mean, yeah. And that obviously was something we needed before we got to this. Supplications. Everybody say supplications.
Supplications.
Go back to our text again, Ephesians 6:18. Notice that he mentions the word twice. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplications. In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance. That means you stay with it. You don't quit.
Right.
And what?
Supplication.
Supplication for all saints. Now, in our circles, what I'd call word circles, faith circles, we've emphasized primarily the prayer of faith. And it needed to be because, previous generations had gotten away from it. And we've emphasized the prayer of faith. We've emphasized the prayer of agreement. We've emphasized the prayer of petition. But this is not those prayers. This is a different prayer. The prayer of supplication. Y'all are quiet. Well, they're different words, right?
Yes.
So, yes, it's right to pray the prayer of faith, but every prayer, I mean, yes, faith in God, faith in His ability, faith that He hears you, but every prayer is not supposed to be a prayer of claiming what belongs to you.
Okay. All right.
Hmm?
Right.
And Supplication is not claiming what belongs to you. Let me read you the definition of it. And let's see. If you look at the Old Testament and New Testament words, one of the words that you see in both places is entreaty. To entreat. Entreaty. Basically, it's asking for a favor. Is that different from claiming what belongs to you? Oh, it is. It is. Asking for a favor, asking for a kindness. Supplication. And you can hear in the word supplication that this is a softer approach, prayer. And actually, Job, in Job 41:3, you don't have to turn there, but he helped define supplication a little bit. He said, "Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak soft words to you?" Showing that supplication is speaking soft words. So go with me to Daniel, the 9th chapter. And let's look at a couple examples of praying the prayer of supplication. You know, we must understand that none of us and no group has all the revelation. And every group has areas that they kind of specialize in. Right? But that does not mean that's all there is. And if you see a group that's not big on what our group is, that doesn't mean they don't have some great things from God. Right? And if we're smart, we'd keep our ears open and see what's God showing them. What's he emphasizing to them? And the amazing thing would be is if all of us would put together. Right? What God has given each group. Whew. That's when, they said in Acts, the world got turned upside down from the enemy's perspective. Got it turned right. But Daniel 9 and 17, Daniel was praying, and just a reminder of his situation. As boys, as a boy, his country was invaded by a foreign army and conquered and crushed. And he was taken away from his family and his people and everything into this place of Babylon. And he was educated there and learned their languages and learned their science and their things and excelled in an enemy place, which is a lesson in and of itself. Yes. Right? Yes. You know, the Bible said Joseph, you know, he was sold into slavery. Yeah. But as a slave, he was a prosperous man. Yes. Is that amazing or what? He was successful. Everything they put him in charge of started running like a top and started making money. And so his owners gave him some money. And so it just goes to show God can cause you to prosper anywhere. Anywhere. Don't think, in this place or in this company or in this, you know, I just can't. Oh, don't you kid yourself. God can cause you to prosper anywhere. Anywhere. And the tougher place it is and the darker place it is, that's the better witness it is. When you do. Because the light shines the brightest in the dark place. The big question is, are you supposed to be there? If you are, stick it out. Let God make you a testimony. Amen. Who knows? You could wind up running the place.
Amen.
I said, who knows? You could wind up running the place. Who knows?
Amen.
You could wind up running the place. Not too many believe that. That's okay. So Daniel, now a man, adult man, and having come up through the ranks and been given tremendous position of authority, even though he was taken as a slave from another country, he's a spiritual man. He's a prophet, and he's praying. And he saw in the writings of the prophets that it looked to him like the time had been fulfilled and that they should be getting out of there. And that God had said he would deliver them out of Babylonian captivity. Talking about the Israelites, and that Israel could be restored, and the temple could be restored. And he believed that, but he's not seeing it. He's seeing anything but. From what he's seeing, you could think Israel is done. There'll never be an Israel. There'll never be a temple again from what he's looking at. But faith is not moved by what it sees and feels. Faith is the evidence of things not seen.
That's right.
And so he's praying this prayer, and God liked the prayer so well, he recorded it for all generations. So you and I could read about it and hear what Daniel prayed all these centuries ago. This was a prayer God was very pleased with. And it's a prayer of supplication. So it's a perfect example of what we're talking about today. He said, "O God, our God, hear the prayer of your servant." And his what?
Supplications.
Supplications. Supplications. And cause your face to shine on your sanctuary that's desolate. It's laying over there destroyed. All the articles of the temple had been plundered and stolen, and the curtains ripped down, and it's just laying there in dust and ashes. And Daniel's got a heart for it. He's like, no, the temple of God, the tabernacle of God should be glorious. It should be right. It should be rebuilt. It should be restored. He said, God, cause your face to shine on the sanctuary that's desolate for the Lord's sake. Keep going. Oh, my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and behold our desolations and the city that's called by your name. Daniel's saying, look at it. It's destroyed. It's your city. It's your sanctuary. He said, we do not present our supplications, there's that word, before you, for our righteousness. Oh, come on, y'all seeing what a prayer of supplication. He's saying, I'm not coming to you telling you we deserve this because we've done right. If you read the rest of the prayer, he goes on to say how they have sinned and how they forsook God and how they left God and how that God's judgments were righteous and true. He's saying, but I'm asking. Supplication. Come on, can you see this? I'm asking for a favor. I'm asking for mercy. Not because of our righteousness, but for your great mercies. Hallelujah. Just because we don't know that something has been bought and paid for in redemption and it belongs to us, doesn't mean we can't pray for it. Doesn't mean we can't ask the Lord about it. This has to do with our relationship with Him. It has to do with our fellowship with Him. You can talk to God about things. And a number of things, you don't come to Him saying, I claim this. This belongs to me. Because, or, you know, that we should be in a different place. Well, not based on what you've done.
Right.
Huh? Not that the Lord wants to see you grovel. He does not. He does not want you to see you beg and beg. He don't want to see that. But you do need to know, when judgments are right, but God is still merciful.
Amen.
And you can come to Him. And you can talk to Him. And you can ask Him. I've prayed this way many times. Lord, I know we don't deserve this. And I know I've prayed for our country this way many times. Huh? I know, Lord, when you look at our country, there's a lot of ugly. For one thing, is all these idol worshipers in our country. I'm telling you, it irritates God. He is not okay with it. These false religions, these worshiping idols, and these false gods. But I say, Lord, but your church, we love you. Right? We love you. And I know we don't deserve total protection for everything. I know we've exposed ourselves because of some ignorant things. We took you out of school. Huh? Tried to take you out of the law. Take you out of government. I know, Lord. I know. You may understand. I'm using a soft approach. You know what I'm talking about? Lord, I know. I know, but you're a merciful God. You're a merciful God. Is that a prayer of supplication? Just asking. Now, you got to be willing in praying a prayer like this, and also this is true with the prayer of intercession, which we may talk about later, but you got to be willing for Him to counter you. There were times when prophets and different ones of His prayed this kind of prayer, and He said, no, don't ask me about it again. And if He does, what do you say?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Understand. I just thought I'd ask. Right? But what you find, that's the rarity. I said, that's the rarity. And you can be assured, if He ever says anything to you like that, it's a lot worse than you know. And it's gone a lot further than you're aware of. And He's given them scores of opportunities. And He knows they've hardened their heart and they are not going to change no matter what happens. You couldn't know that. But He knows it. And if He says no, just leave that alone. Then you know there's more to it than you know. But you're always right to talk to Him about His mercy. Always. Because He is the faithful God. Oh, somebody say, He's the faithful God who keeps covenant and shows mercy. Woo! Mercy to 1,000 generations of those that love Him. Glory to God. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 3:12 says, 1 Peter 3:12, and this is the Young's literal translation, and one reason I'm using it is because there's half a dozen places in the New Testament that the King James translates prayer that's actually the word supplication. And if you'll look at it like in Young's literal, something like that, you'll see it. And I'll show you a couple of them right now. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open, King James says, to what? Their supplication. And the face of the Lord's upon those doing evil. Look in James, the 5th chapter. This is one that surprised me a little bit. That's one reason I like to have something like a Young's literal, because some of these, they translate it the same way every place. I like that consistency. Because I believe the Word of God is inspired. And that when the Lord chose a specific word, that word means the same thing. and you want to translate it consistently. That's why you got to watch out for some of the modern so-called translations. They're actually paraphrase. They are not a word-for-word translation. They are telling you what they think it means. I don't want you to tell me what you think it means. I want to know what he said. And I'll do my thinking for myself. How about y'all? With the help of the Holy Spirit. James 5 and 17, we'll start and then I'll show you what I'm talking about. He said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And this is the King James, sorry. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, that was affected the climate. Right? Climate change. If you were really serious about climate change, repentance and prayer are the most powerful things there are. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but that's how it is. And the truth is, the planet is actually dying. I don't know how long it'll take it, but it's on its way out. It's groaning and travailing. That's what earthquakes are. That's what these hurricanes and tsunamis and these heat waves and droughts. God did not create the planet that way. It's because of sin and the curse and judgment. And it has violated it and degraded it so much. Now, we don't know. It's all we've ever seen and known. How beautiful must it have been in its original pristine state? I mean, in its fallen, corrupted state, it's amazing, right? But you also see signs of problems. And it has been so corrupted that the Lord's, he's going to create new earth, new heaven and new earth wherein is no curse. So this one in its current state apparently can't be saved. But God's going to make us a new one. Hallelujah. verse 18, he prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. So praying changed things. It changed the climate. It changed the pressure flows and temperature changes and wind currents for years. For years. And this is what we talked about some in the first series about teach us to pray. We asked the question, why pray? Because there's, you know, unbelievers, they don't pray. But there's a whole lot of believers barely pray. And one of the reasons is they've come, the enemies lied to them, that it really doesn't make much difference. And then there's this doctrine that people believe that God's in control. So what do you mean doctrine? It's a wrong doctrine. That God is controlling everything. Well, if that's true, then no matter what you pray or don't pray, he's going to do it the way he's decided. Which means, why bother praying? Because it's going to happen his way, whether you think or whether you don't. That is not true. I said, that is not true. That's not what the Bible reveals. Things can be changed. Oh, come on, y'all, listen to me. Things can be changed. Everything is not written in stone. It is not. It is not. Even when God says a thing and says it's going to happen like this, there are times when it can still be changed. Huh? Go with me to Isaiah 38. Y'all okay?
Yes.
How many think we should pray? Huh? Is anybody praying more these days since a few weeks ago when we started talking about, huh? Are you praying more?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Because if you're not, then it didn't do us much good, right, to go through it. Phyllis and I are. We prayed before, but we're praying more now.
Amen.
And getting more answers. And, whew, it's, you're foolish not to. If you just go days and don't pray, you're going to miss some things. God still loves you, but you're going to miss some things. You're going to make a lot of mistakes that you didn't have to make. And one of the reasons we pray is because things can be changed.
Yes,
said out loud, things
can be changed.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's where the prayer of supplication will come in a lot of times. And or the prayer of intercession. Well, I went too quick. Are you in Isaiah 38?
Yes.
Put on the screen James 5:16. You keep your place in Isaiah. I didn't read this. James 5:16 in Young's literal. I don't know if we have that or not, but I'll read it to you. Yeah, we do. Wonderful. Be confessing to one another your trespasses and be praying for one another. A characteristic of a maturing Christian is that you pray and that you pray for others. Baby Christians may or may not pray much, but baby Christians tend to just mostly pray for themselves. And that's not shocking. Babies are selfish and don't even know what selfish is. Huh? You know, I mean, you don't, if you got any sense, you don't berate a little one that awakened you in the nighttime because they were uncomfortable. You don't stand by the crib and go, you are so insensitive to everybody around you. I finally got to sleep and you really, you could have waited. No, because the little one is oblivious to your needs. Completely unaware that you need or want anything. And that's not shocking. They're a baby. But God intends that we grow up. That we develop. And if you do, you'll pray more and more. And you'll start praying more for other people. That's a sign of maturing. Praying for others. And James 5:16, let me keep reading. Young's literal. Very strong is a working supplication of a righteous man. Now see, the King James didn't say that. But that's what the word is, the same word that we saw in our text. Very strong, say it out loud, very strong.
Very strong.
Is a working supplication.
Of a righteous man.
Now why say of a righteous man? Because, let's take Daniel. He was praying a prayer of supplication. Why would God listen to him? Because Daniel has known God from a little boy. He loves God. Remember he prays every day? Remember that? And all those things. He wouldn't change his faith in God, though it got him thrown in the lion's den. I mean, this is somebody that knows God and loves God. And that is right in God's eyes. And based on that relationship and that communion, he's talking to the Father and he's saying, we don't deserve it. It's not because we've done everything right, but I'm asking you for help and favor here. And God heard him. They have a relationship. And you and I are not made righteous by what we do under the new covenant. We're made righteous by what he has done for us. But we still need to pursue a right relationship with Him and a right fellowship with Him. So the working supplication of a righteous or right man, hallelujah, very strong. So look in Isaiah 38 then, verse 1. We said even when God has said a thing will be a certain way, everything's not written in stone. There are times it can be changed. Is this wonderful or not? We'll talk later perhaps about Abraham and Moses and the prayer of intercession and supplication. There was more than once that God told Moses, get out of my way. I've had it with these people. He said, I will wipe them out and I'll start over with you, Moses, and I'll make of you a great... Well, if Moses had any personal ambitions like some people do, he'd go, great. I don't like them either. Let's go with Moses. Yeah, let's do it. What did he say? He said no. And he pled with him. Not that he had a right to demand. He had no right. They just made gold calves. And God is pretty hot about it. Right? But even though the Lord said that this is what he's ready to do, what's amazing to me is after Moses prayed this prayer, the Lord said, I've heard you. I forgive them. Whew. Glory to God. We're talking about 3 million people that just got saved like that. What if he hadn't asked him to? That's the thing. You and I can be in some of these positions to where judgment is happening. It's about to fall. Especially like on some of your relatives. Y'all with me? Who just have ignored and rejected God for decades. That can only last so long. Oh, but more than once, I've prayed, supplicated. This one prayer I remember praying years ago, I said, Lord, talking about a relative, I said, I know you have given them so many opportunities. You have spared them so many times. They don't deserve the least of your mercies. And I don't have a right to ask anything. But I said, Lord, have mercy. Give them another opportunity. Give them another space of time, another opportunity. Why? Because as long as there's breath, there's hope. Right? Yeah, Lord, have mercy. And he interrupted. The Lord interrupted me. I don't mean I heard a voice, but inside me, he said, I'll do it. Just because you asked me to. Is that him or is that him? I'll do it. Just because you asked me to. Because you got to understand, 1 Peter said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if you won't repent, there'll come a time when you'll be destroyed. That's it. That's right. That's judgment. But many times, God is just looking for somebody to ask him. He'd like to give them some more time. But he needs a reason to. He needs a right to. And if you ask him, not demanding, not requiring, asking. That's a supplication. Well, in Isaiah 38:1, in those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death. Terminal situation. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus saith the Lord. Who said it?
Lord.
Who said it?
Lord.
This is not, I perceive. This is, I heard these words. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. So what do you reckon is going to happen? God said, you're going to die. Get your house in order. That means you're going to make a will, you better make it now. Right? Set your affairs in order. Set your house in order. Because you shall die. Not might die, not could die. Shall die. And just to be clear on it, not live. You're dying. You're not living. Tell me who said it. Come on. Tell me who said it.
The Lord. The Lord
said it. It's verse 2. Then Hezekiah started making funeral plans. Actually, he didn't. Yeah, but thus saith the Lord. Yeah, but prayer. Oh, come on, did y'all see that word? He turned his face to the wall. Why would you turn your face to the wall? So that you don't hear any dinging or pinging or buzzing from your devices or emails or instant messaging. Come here with me. He turned it all off. He didn't even look out the window. Lest he be distracted by a blue jay flying by. You know what you see when you got your nose against the wall? You see this much of the wall. Why? Because he's not wanting to see anything but God. God has his full attention. And we got part of his prayer. He prayed to God. He said, Lord, remember, I beseech thee. That word right there is supplication. I beseech. That's entreaty. That's asking, humbly asking. No demanding. No, I'm claiming what's mine. There's a time for that. That's a prayer of faith. But that's not what this is. I beseech thee, O God, how I've walked before you in truth with a perfect heart. I've done what's good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept. Sore. He humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. And he knows if God said it, he can't change it. But he's asking. Oh, come on, can you see this? He's asking for a favor. Asking humbly. Is everything written in stone? Can things be changed? Even things God said are going to happen. Can they be changed and turn out a different way? Keep reading. Keep reading. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah. And if you read the other accounts of it, this is before he got home. He's just leaving the king's court. And I mean before he gets out outside the gates and walls, the Lord arrests him and says, stop. Yes, sir. Here comes the word of the Lord to Isaiah. The same Lord, the same way it came to him, saying, set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. Well, here it comes again. Saying what? Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord. That's just how the other started. The God of David, your father. Oh, now stop right here. Stop right here. Why bring this up? Oh, brother, sister, if you had a praying grandma or a praying grandpa or a mama or a daddy, or a great mama, or an auntie, you should thank God the rest of your life. And if you are a praying mama, daddy, your kids, your grandkids, your great grandkids should thank God. Because he is the faithful God that keeps covenant and shows mercy to a thousand generations. Did David pray? Look at this book of Psalms. A bunch of the Psalms are prayers. That's what they are. David must have prayed all the time. He prayed, he sang, he praised, he worshiped. And so God brings it up. And sure enough, Hezekiah is David's descendant. He said, the God of David, your father, I've heard your prayer. I saw your tears. Did it benefit Hezekiah to pray? Huh? Now let's just stop right here. Do you know what a lot of people have done? Instead of doing what Hezekiah did, they got mad. They got mad. They're hurt towards God. After all I've done for you, God. Really? That's how you're going to go with this. See? I demand. I require. Well, you'll be dead soon. Right? Huh? People get mad. They all get hurt to their core. God, why would you do this to me? I'm not that old. God. God. Why don't you quit being religious and actually go to him and talk to him about it. Ask him. Sometimes just ask him, Lord, can this be changed? Ask. Ask. Somebody say ask. In a respectful way. In a humble way. In a reverent way. Ask. Lord, can this be changed? And that was what he was doing. And you see with his tears, he's not acting in an angry way. He's not acting in a haughty, proud way. He's the king. He's used to everything moving when he speaks. But here he is, nose against the wall, crying on his second box of tissues. Are y'all with me? He's saying, God, I'm too young, I think, you know. Lord, I want to do some more. Would you have mercy on me? I beseech thee. That's the exact language of supplication prayer. I beseech thee. I entreat thee. I'm asking. And I mean, it couldn't have been an hour. The prophet ain't got out of the courtyard. It might have been 15 minutes. I don't know. There's not much time involved here until God says, stop. Yes, sir? Turn around. Go tell Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord. Let me read it again. The God of David, your father, I heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Behold, I will add to your days 15 years. This is something no amount of money could have extended his life. No latest advanced treatments could have stopped him from dying. But what? A 15-minute prayer? Huh? A 10-minute prayer? Whatever it was. But when you call on the Lord with all your heart, is that right? He said, I'll hear you. And I'll answer you. So whether it's for yourself, whether it's for your loved ones, whether it's for your nation, this is why you don't just, you know, see how quick you can pray the Lord's Prayer and then jump up and leave. Right? You take some time and begin to commune with God. And sometimes as you pray and get your mind off of all the stuff of the world and focus with Him, He'll bring this one up to you. Because He wants you to ask for mercy for them. So He would have a right to give them some more time. He'll bring this up to you. He'll bring that up to you. And we actually will do work with heaven that affects God's will being done in the earth. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Stand on your feet, please. Oh, somebody say thank you.